Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Mitch. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
I see a couple faces maybe from this morning. So this morning's sermon, we had Caleb, thank you. Caleb was up here talking, and we're used to seeing Kevin. We're used to seeing, you know, Knights, Mitch, and Tyler, and every once in a while, Willie will be up here, and we all kind of have our own styles, right? So I've done a few sermons, and I don't know if it's with everybody, but it's definitely for me, and I think everybody probably feels the same way, that what they've put together isn't necessarily going to be their best work. But we put it together, and we come up here, and we start speaking what we put together, and God goes ahead and changes everything, and then you guys hear something entirely better.
Amen.
So that is what I am hoping for right now. But it's going to be great. So this morning, when Caleb was talking about trying to put his sermon together, I kind of chuckled to myself, because he's talking about how difficult it was to put his sermon together because he didn't know what to talk about. I've spent a couple weeks trying to put different sermons together, and you know, they've threatened to put me up here before, and I was like, yeah, I'll take a turn up there. Well, then the rubber met the road. It's like, uh-oh. Okay, I gotta be serious about this. So I put together probably 5-6 sermons in my head. They're real good. My wife said, I want to spend some time with you this weekend, so let's get these sermons done. Let's not be doing them till 4 in the morning like we always do. Yes, dear, let's do this. I did. I was proud of myself. And what do we know about pride?
Uh-oh.
I have about 2% of this sermon that was the sermon that I had prepared so that we could do something yesterday. So I spent yesterday, after we got done going and seeing family, you know, and things like that, and I put this together. And I think it came out fairly well. Now, if I can just get it out and not stumble, and somehow God will translate my words to your ears so that it all makes sense, and that'll be beautiful. He talked about, when he opened up, he talked about talking about the entire Bible, which I thought was great. And you guys will have to go, in my head, this makes sense. So you guys will have to go and look at the morning sermon, listen to that. It's a beautiful overview of everything. The one thing that he had brought up was the gospel. And Why are we holding the gospel in our hearts and not spreading it to others? Why, essentially, in my words, why are we okay with letting our friends, family, even a stranger on the street, not hear the gospel? I've heard it. Probably everybody here has heard it. Everybody online probably heard it. There's all kinds of people that see it on TV or whatever, and they don't choose to believe it, or they're afraid of it, or they say, I'm not good enough to go to heaven just because I haven't done enough good things. I've done bad things. I don't know anybody here that hasn't done great things. I don't know anybody here that hasn't done bad things, myself included. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And that's okay, which is a weird thing to say, that if you're messing up, you're okay. But you are. When we get into this, you're going to see that no matter what you do, if you're a believer and you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are going to heaven. Now, there's lots of hard-to-swallow things about bad people in this world that we don't think should even be walking on the face of this earth, right? And for me, yeah, there's people that I would rather not see walking around. But that doesn't mean that I'm allowed to condemn them. I'm not allowed to punish them or judge them unrighteously. That's what it says right here in the Bible. And that is for God. He's reserved judgment for himself. We are to love our neighbor, the end. I don't care if we think that a murderer should go to hell. If it's written right here that if that murderer professes with his mouth that he has changed and he is a believer in Jesus Christ, that he has saved his life, then he will make it to heaven. We don't have to agree with it. We don't have to like it at all. It makes me sick to the stomach, some of the people that are probably in heaven. But you know what? If they've had a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of attitude, Jesus will know. When they're on that judgment throne, they have to answer for themselves. We don't get to judge them, and that's okay. Let God take judgment. Do you know how much weight that takes off our shoulders? To not have to worry about what this guy's up to, what this guy's up to? Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt us. And in this, you'll see that our actions grieve God. Our actions hurt God. Not until I became a father did I even start to think about how our actions as God's children affect God. Now, my kids can screw up, and I still love them the same, right? I screwed up. My dad, he still loved me the same. Probably wanted to, you know, have a few choice words. And that was good. It's how it's supposed to be, you know? And I'm a better man for it. I think we're all better people for you know, growing up, paying attention to our parents, to friends, family, whatever, that have steered us in a better direction. At some point, we all have to grow up. And if we don't, then we're going to be lost. I don't want anybody here to be lost. It terrifies me to think that any of my friends or family, just because they're afraid to walk through church doors, may not believe in Jesus. Like I've told people, and I've heard lots of things. What if God isn't real? Okay, let's just suppose God isn't real. Okay, fine. I've spent every Sunday in here at multiple church services a lot of times. I listen to multiple sermons during the week every morning. I try to read my Bible as much as I can, and it's not enough. I will tell you that. I don't read this Bible enough. I let the world get a hold of me, and I let the world beat me up. It can be seen. The thing that we've got to know is that if God isn't real, and everybody thinks that you wasted your time, what's the worst that happened? I became a better man, and God isn't real. Okay? That, great. I wasted my 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, 90 years of my life chasing this ghost that doesn't exist, right? Okay? But what if God is real? Just think for a second. If God is real, and you don't chase him for even one day or 1 minute of your life, right? Some people see my wife and myself go to church all the time and say, man, you guys, you're always gone on Sundays. I know. And it can be overwhelming sometimes. And there's times where it can be a little overload. So we have to dial it back a little sometimes. But I can tell you that if you're not going to spend any time even just trying to figure out if maybe, just maybe it is true, that's okay. But eternity is a long, long time to spend in hell. Long time. And if that's where we're going to, you know, choose to be, that's where we're going to choose to be. I had talked to somebody not long ago, and we were talking about a situation, and they had said, we're talking religion and things like that, and they said, this is the life that people choose for themselves. You can talk to them, you can try to steer them in a direction, you can do all these things to help save them and help, you know, guide them in their ways. But at the end of the day, it's their choice and their life that they have to lead. And that's kind of hard because I think as humans, we'd like to try to control everything we can. We want things our way. We want, you know, this, that, and the other to go our way. This is our plan. But everybody sitting in here that's a believer knows that our plan is a great plan right up until we start to implement it. And God says, we're not doing that. It's a great plan, but we're not doing that. So having said all that, I'll actually get to what I did and wrote. This is going to start out here. I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're just going to go through verses 1 through 6. And then what I'm going to do is kind of explain, break the verses down just a little bit. And then we're going to kind of bounce around. This will be probably like a sermon, I don't know, most of you haven't heard. My pastor's in the audience listening and judging. And I hope he gives me some great feedback, good and bad. But I want to try to get this out. And just like Caleb said this morning, there's so many things in this Bible that it is hard to do a 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 2 hour sermon even and get all your messages across. So I tried to pick it down and make it as simple as I could. Did the notes. Some of them I'm going to have to read. Some of it I'll ad lib. We're just going to go on this journey together, and God's going to speak through me to you. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm going to break this down. Verses 1 and 2. We're talking about truth. Truth can be trusted in truth. Let me slow down. I'm sorry. Truth that can be trusted is truth that transforms us and also testifies to others. Like Paul, every believer has been entrusted as a minister of the gospel to the lost world. Matthew 28:19 tells us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So what it's saying is we need to go out. We need to talk to people. It's our job. That's our one thing that we are tasked with. One of many, really. But we need to make disciples. We need to talk to people about Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel. Verses 3 to 5. The God of this age is a reference to Satan. Referring to him as God of this age is only a figure of speech. Although he has already been defeated, he is still temporarily powerful. He continues his grasp of the present world. If he can deceive the world into thinking he is equal to God, he can blind people to the gospel of Christ. So how many of you have paid any attention to what's going on outside the doors of this church, this building, anywhere in the real world? It's not looking good, exactly. Now, it's not looking that bad because we do have Jesus Christ and we've got a lot of things to fall on. But it is not pretty out there. We're watching all kinds of TV programming. We're finding all kinds of things on the internet. We're talking all kinds of things behind our friends' back. We're behind all these people that we trust us, and we're doing bad things. It doesn't mean we're bad people. We're human. We're born this way. But there's hope. There's tons of hope out there. We just have to accept it. Verse 5, it's talking about preaching ourselves. So we don't go out and tell the world how good we are and how we're such saviors, right? We need to spread the word that Jesus Christ, we need to glorify Jesus Christ. We need to preach Jesus Christ. We don't say how good we are. We don't go out and say, oh, I was so bad and now I'm good. We can preach our own kind of messages and tell the world how we used to be and how we've come to Jesus to some extent. But as I've been learning in listening to all these sermons and doing some research myself, you don't have to have the dirty details. We're all sinners. It doesn't matter what your sin is. There could be a murderer in this room, and there could be somebody that stole a candy bar. It doesn't matter. Jesus died and saved you. It's that simple. If you believe that Jesus died and was resurrected, he died for your sins and was resurrected, you're fine. It doesn't mean that you can go out and start committing these sins and doing these things. You know better now. You know that you were, a sinful person, and that's okay. Don't dwell on the fact that we're all sinful. We're all going to walk out that door and sin right away as soon as we walk out. I know we are. But the great news is we're still forgiven. We're still going to go to heaven if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Verse 6 there in chapter 4. So God does not illuminate anyone's heart for their own sake. Just as God commanded light to shine out of the darkness at the beginning of creation, so must every believer's knowledge of Christ shine through a world that desperately needs him. We are all to be a beacon of hope by letting our light shine for those who are lost. So when we go out and we talk to people, we shouldn't be out there telling them how great we are. Like I'd said, we need to tell them how great Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. It's kind of sad that, and I hate to say it, but I think even at this point in our time and existence that they missed the coming of Jesus. Will we miss the second coming? Are we going to miss the boat and not believe in time? Or are we not going to get out there? Are we not going to profess the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ? If you're a believer, that's your job. That's one of the main things that we need to be out there doing. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be out, you know, judging people, making people feel uncomfortable, things like this on purpose. There's going to be lots of things I'm sure I say tonight. There's lots of things I've heard this morning. My toes get stepped on all the time. I'm sure everybody here and everybody listening, your toes are probably sore. I've got gout. It's like that. And maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's just God stomping my toes. Maybe it's not gout at all. I don't know. But I can tell you, I know what sore toes feel like for real. So once it comes to this is forever. I can deal with sore toes once in a while. But if I got to deal with hell forever, nah, I'm out. So the gospel is the light that illuminates a person's mind. The Holy Spirit can take the truth of the gospel, which is the light of the knowledge of God, and open a person's mind so that he can see. Once his mind is open and has trusted Christ as Savior, he can see other things, other truths in the Word of God. God wants the unsaved to trust Christ as their Savior and will help them in understanding the verses of the plan of salvation. Through the Holy Spirit, we plant the seed and the Holy Spirit will guide them. Okay, so what that's saying is we need to give people the knowledge. Plant the seed, right? Here's Jesus Christ. He was born, died for our sins, was resurrected on the cross, okay, so that we can go to heaven. If you believe that, that's enough. The Holy Spirit's going to grab you. And it may not be right away. I've heard people that have gotten baptized and like, oh, my life has changed. My life has changed, right? And your life is changed. Even if you've been baptized and you're like, well, this guy, he was, you know, his life changed right away. Why am I not feeling that tug? Maybe it's not your time. Be patient. That's one thing I've learned in this, and my dad can attest to it. And my son, oh my gosh, just like me. I want the new car today, Dad. I'm going to paint my car today, Dad. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Be patient, son. Be patient, son. Be patient, son. Oh, my poor dad. God bless you. Because Caden is just like me. But yes, we have to be patient. Even if we've heard somebody else's story that they came out of that water and they were saved and they knew it and they just started this new life right away. That is amazing. That is great. For the people that came out of that water, you're still saved. Your life still started new. You're just a little slower to open in your eyes. Some people are morning people. Some people are not. It's okay. Your eyes will open. So this Holy Spirit that we're talking about, what do we know about the Holy Spirit? How did we get it? John 16, chapters 5 through 15. This will be Jesus speaking here. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth that it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment in judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. I got all kinds of lost. With all these lights, you'd think I'd be able to see. My old eyes. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So after Jesus' ascension into heaven, that's when the Holy Spirit came to us. What this is saying is without Jesus dying, we would not got the Holy Spirit. So it was when Jesus died, went to heaven, and then was resurrected, so we got the Holy Spirit. That's what's in us now. That's our conscience. That's our knowing right and wrong. Doesn't mean we're perfect. I don't know anybody in here that's perfect. Nobody. I'd like to think that there would be a couple, but there's not. It's just not a thing, unfortunately. But that's okay, because we've got somebody that is perfect and died for our sins so that we can go to heaven and be saved. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So what's that mean? The natural man, excuse me, natural man is the man of this world. Before we believe, Jesus Christ came, died for our sins, was resurrected, and we're going to heaven. The natural man is the guy that's our neighbor, that's our friends that don't believe in Jesus, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our kids, anybody you know that is not a believer in Jesus Christ, that he came to this world, died for our sins, and we're saved. That's the natural man, the man of the world. The man of the world is a lot of fun, but the man of the world is not the way at all. We've all learned that over the course of our own lives, I certainly hope. The purpose of the Holy Spirit living within you is that as you go down and go out into the world, it uses a message of the gospel to reveal to individuals that they are unbelievers. And again, we're not beating people up. You don't run up to somebody on the street corner, "You're a sinner, you're going to hell." We've all seen those people, heard those people, and those people will not come to church. Those people will not crack a Bible. Those people will do anything and everything to keep you away. And that's okay. That's their choice. We all have choices. Choices can be good, and choices can come with dire consequences, of which I hope none of us in this room ever have to face. Sorry, I lost my place rambling here. Let's see. Wow, I went through a lot of these notes. This is how these sermons go. So anybody who wants to do a sermon, they're kind of fun, right? You write out all your notes, and then you rely on your notes too much, and then you actually already did it. Well, let's see here. All right, here, let's go down to this. So the reason we serve the Lord and win people to Christ is in Corinthians 2:9. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things of which God has prepared for those who love him. If you love the Lord, he says, then obey my commandment. If you obey men, I will honor you." So he wants you to serve him. He says, "Here is my Father, glorified that you bear much fruit." God wants every one of us to bear fruit. If you love God, you won't mind. But if you don't love God, you're not going to want to witness. You're not going to want to go to church. You're not going to want to pray like you should. You're not going to want to witness like you should when you're not right with the Lord. But if you love him, he says, then serve me. So we prove our love and loyalty to Jesus Christ by living for him, by putting him first in our life. Every man has to make that decision for himself, because no one can do it for him. It's kind of like the, you got your horse, right? The horse is thirsty. We're going to bring him to the water. We're doing a good deed. We're getting that horse some water. Okay, cool. So let's say that water is Jesus Christ. We brought that horse to that water. The horse is looking at that water. I don't know if I want the water. All right, cool. I brought you to the water. If you don't want to drink, that's your choice. You know? Yep. So all we can do is bring our horses to the water. They don't want to drink. We can't make them drink. But that's our duty is to get people to listen just a little. Don't beat them up about it. Just have a conversation. Feel people out. Some people listen, some people won't. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. At that very moment, forever, you cannot leave the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot leave you. But the Bible does say we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve him by not listening to him. Who here listens to him all the time? I didn't see any hands either. Mine didn't go up. So the Holy Spirit within you is to lead you, to guide you, to teach you. The Holy Spirit teaches you the Word of God. But if you don't open the Word of God, or you don't go to church, or you don't learn the Word of God, the Holy Spirit doesn't teach you. You can pray all you want for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you, but He does not lead, guide, or direct you, contrary to Scriptures, and without the knowledge of the Scriptures. This is why you need to know the Bible. So as a child of God, you may live all your Christian life and never have allowed the Holy Spirit to guide you. You guided yourself. You trusted the Lord and you lived your life the way you wanted to. You did whatever you want, whenever you want. You don't consider God's wants. You can do that. Nobody can change you on that. Only the Lord. Now, He may humble you and make you wish you served Him, but no individual can make another person serve God. All we can do is try to set an example before others. We are supposed to love God because of what He has already done for us. And if what He's already done for us isn't good enough for you, why even serve Him? Why even try? We're all sitting here breathing in this room right now. That's enough for me. I heard something one time. This is off script too, which is probably way better. But I had heard something one time, and it gave me a lot of hope in kind of a weird, strange maybe way, right? So what we see, and I'm going to screw it up because I'm nervous in front of all you guys. But the Yahweh thing, how do you pronounce the Y, W-H, yes, help me. Yeah, the Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh deal, right? So God gave us breath. He breathed life into us. So I was watching or reading this thing one time, and they said that even sinners and non-believers, atheists, all these people, every day speak God's name. Because the way that it's pronounced is... to breath. And that gave me some hope for the people that we can't reach or that we don't want to reach. It is probably more truthful. How many times a day do us believers and us Christians walk by somebody and like, oh man, they look like they're in a real pickle. Well, I gotta go do this. Oh man, okay, this guy's having a bad day. Why can't we just walk over there and talk to them? We could be their lifeline between heaven and hell. I'm as guilty of it as anybody. And it breaks my heart to think about because there are so many people that I felt this tug, say something. No, I'm good. No, not yet. I will. The time's got to be right. Well, the time was right, man. Like, it's poking you. How much more time do you need? Like, the rapture's coming, right? Like, we know the rapture's coming. Does anybody know? No, it could happen right here, right now. And how many people did we leave to go off and do their own thing. And hopefully, maybe somebody will speak to them. It's our job as Christians and true believers to read our Bibles, to go to church, to spread the good news of the gospel. None of this is hard. We think that everybody's going to judge us. I never saw myself up here. I still don't see myself up here. I'm still not even mature enough to have kids, and they're all over 21. I don't understand this world. But what I can tell you is that if you're feeling a pull, just go. It's easier. How many, who has dogs, man? That dog's pulling you on the leash. Do we, you know, go to the way of the dog? Maybe. But if we're pulling feeling a tug as a human, where's our leash? Maybe we should pay attention to these tugs, these pokes. I know we've all been reprimanded at some point by God. Look at your life. Your lives are all great. You're here. There's people that can't even get here. That we're all blessed to be in a building. It's warm. The sun's out. We're breathing. We're all healthy for the most part. There's no reason that we can't spread the gospel to people other than we don't want to. And that hurts to say. It does. Because I'm guilty of it too. We're all guilty of it. We all need to do better to some extent in that area. Doesn't mean that we're ever going to be perfect at it. We're just not. It's not what we're made to do, unfortunately. So it doesn't matter how many things you've done wrong, how many great things you've done. Everybody here's heard it. I haven't killed anybody. I'm going to heaven. Maybe. Maybe. If you believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, man, do as many good things as you want. You're not going to heaven. That's the sad reality. You're not. We've got to do good things. It's the right thing to do good things. I'll never tell you to go out and be a murderer and a drug dealer and all these bad things that, people think of when they think of people going to hell. Those people may not be going to hell. The guy that's out there donating all of his time and all of his money and he's living right for what it looks like from the outside. Excuse me. But he's carrying all these burdens inside. Doesn't believe in Jesus, but from the outside looks like a great human being. Perfect. He's probably going to be going to hell unless he changes his ways and believes in Jesus Christ. We don't have to do good things. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to read our Bible. Now, these are all good things that are going to give you favor and rewards in heaven when you get there. But you have to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he came, died for our sins, was resurrected. We're going to heaven. I heard something when I was doing this sermon, and it said, a man that is 99% saved and 1% lost is still 100% lost. That's kind of weird. We think, oh man, that's an A+, 99%. That's good. I could do good things with 99%. Mm-mm. Yeah, you're in or you're out. Once we've believed that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we're in. We're in. We're not. We're still in. You're in. You're in. Repent. You're still in. You're good. You're okay. But you have to know that you can't just go out willy-nilly and commit sins and still be okay. There is going to be some repercussions and humbling for that. Just because you're saved and you go out and you steal a car, okay, cool, you're still saved. There's going to be some repercussions to those actions. You're going to lose a little favor. So what it all kind of boils down to, I think, is I beat you guys up enough. Hopefully I wasn't too rough, because when I first did this sermon, I tend to, and anybody that knows me, I tend to not tiptoe around things a lot of times. I'll go straight for the throat. And that's not the way that we want to go out into the world and do this. So I wrote down exactly what I was feeling, and I changed it so that it wasn't that. Because we're not going to win people with that. We're going to win people, and we're going to save other souls by going out and humbly talking to them. We're going to go out, and we're going to lovingly spend time with people. We don't have to say, oh, hey, you're going to hell. We need to talk. No, man. No, take your friends. Go to dinner. Go to a movie. Go do something that you guys enjoy together and work it in, right? Again, just plant the seed. You don't have to get that cute little tomato plant starter plant and lay it out there. Well, what do you guys believe? You guys believe Jesus? Not Jesus? Believe? No, don't even worry about that much right away. Get comfortable in talking about it first. I'm fairly new to all this preaching stuff, as I'm sure it is apparent, but that's okay. I'm up here. I'm trying. That's all God wants us to do is try. We plant that little baby mustard seed that we always hear about. If we plant that seed, the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus are going to take care of it. Our job is to get the word out there. So anybody that's afraid to speak the gospel, it's actually really fairly simple. It all hinges on Jesus came, died for our sins, was resurrected. We just have to believe it. It's that easy. So if we're afraid to go out and speak the gospel, I understand. There's a lot of things in this Bible that I don't understand yet, but I'm trying. That's all our parents asked of us. That's all we ask of our children. That's all God asks of us. Try. Just try. If you don't succeed, I'll change your path. It's fine. It's not a big deal. We're all going to fail. But also realize we're all going to succeed. We may need a little more help to succeed than we're willing to accept. I think all of our pride is way bigger than it always should be, and that's okay. We'll deal with that. That'll get dealt with. We may not like it, but we'll get steered in the direction that we're supposed to be going. We get bumped around all the time. Just when I think I've got something figured out, nope, we're not doing that. We got to change the path. I don't like a lot of the paths my life has taken. Love some of the paths my life's taken. I'm a better man for a lot of people in here, a lot of people out there. This book right here, who knew that I'd be standing up here reading a Bible in front of people? I don't even like to talk to people. But here I am putting myself out here and trying to tell you the little tiny itty bitty, just minuscule part of what I know, right? So the one thing I want to kind of leave you guys with, and this is something that I had heard from another pastor. I stole it. But I think he'd be okay if I stole it. And I don't even remember which pastor it was because I listened to too darn many of them. But they all preach the gospel. Not works. Faith only. Jesus Christ. No works. It's the only way you can get is Jesus Christ. What he had said, that a poor representation of the gospel is better than no representation of the gospel. So I'd like to invite everybody to give that poor representation of the gospel if that's all you got. Give it. God will steer you. He steered me all over the place tonight. I got these pages that I read, maybe one of them of over the course of the three pages. Hopefully it made sense because I couldn't tell you what I said. But I think we need to pay attention to what's going on in our world. God keeps nudging a lot of people to save people, and it seems, and maybe it's me, maybe it's because I'm getting deeper in the world, maybe it's because the people I know and my friends are getting deeper in the Word. And the whole end of times thing is terrifying, and it scares people from church all the time. That's okay. It is scary. Right until you believe, then it's not as scary. It's not as scary. And yeah, there's some crazy things in these Bibles, man. Just read them. Just start at Genesis, and if you can get through Genesis and believe that, the rest of it all makes sense. But you gotta have the faith. Gotta have the faith. And when you do, spread it. Spread it. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Lord God, thank you for helping me get through this. I just pray that it fell on the ears that it needed to, that it filled the hearts that it needed to, that it'll stick with all those that are willing to spread your word, sir. I appreciate that you've given me this time and this opportunity up here in front of your people to try to mend hearts, to try to change hearts, to try to open hearts, but only through your word. I am just a sinner like everyone around me. But as we stand here, let those listening online, those in the building that may not quite believe yet, just let them open a Bible. Let them see something on a TV show, on the news, on the radio. I don't know. Just let them. Give them that little nudge. The seed's been planted. Now Lord, I'm going to leave it in your hands. You know what to do with it. You know where we're all going to end up. You know what our path of our life is going to be. So Lord, I just ask that you open the hearts and the mind of the people around us and give us the strength to talk to the people around us, to help them, just as your son Jesus Christ would have done. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.